Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone. This is our NWSL special previewing the upcoming season. In years past, we've done individual podcasts for each club. On this occasion, we felt that was probably a little bit overkill, so we're going to try and pack as much as we can into one episode. I can't do the show on my own, so as always, I'm joined by my co-host out in the United States, JJ Duke. JJ, how are you, mate?
Man, I've been waiting for this for a long time now. It seems like it was only forever ago that we had the championship match down in Orlando. We need this season to start.
We do, mate. It's come about quickly for me, if I'm honest. It only feels like yesterday that I was in Orlando covering the NWSL championship game between Portland and North Carolina. Although I say NWSL championship game, it almost felt like an NWSL championship fight, because obviously it was pretty rough and ready over the 90 minutes. Not the greatest game, but I'm sure that we will get much more quality over the course of the 2018 season. So, as we said, we're going to pack a lot into this show, but we're going to be quite disciplined about it. So what we're going to do, certainly for the first half of the show, we're going to cover every club. We have dedicated 5 minutes, just the 5 minutes, to each club. And what we're going to do, we've got a couple of interviews as well. We've got an interview with Chicago Red Stars defender Aaron Gilliland, and we've also got one with Washington Spirit midfielder Torrey Huster. We'll play Aaron's after the Chicago Red Stars 5 minutes, and then we'll play Torrey's right at the end after the Spirit. As I said, a disciplined 5 minutes. So at the end of each 5 minutes, I will press this buzzer. And then we will move on to the next club. So we're going to do it alphabetically. JJ, you're chuckling away. I know that you can hear it at the other end of Skype. So we're going to start with the Chicago Red Stars. So the time starts now. So Chicago Red Stars finished fourth last season. They obviously made some real headway over the offseason, making probably the biggest trade, or certainly recruiting one of the biggest players in the world in Sam Kerr. When we look at how they did last year and what they might be able to do this year, what's your impressions of the Red Stars?
Well, certainly Rory Dames really had to up just one thing on his team, and that was the goal scoring. In, 24 matches, they scored 33 goals. They've always been a very stout defensive team, obviously, with Alyssa Nair. And really the phenomenal stretch that she's had over the last, three or four years right now, domestically as well as on the international stage, that was the one thing that they needed. So they weren't getting, I shouldn't say they weren't getting goals, because they were getting them with Kristen Press, but they needed more options. I think Sam Kerr, how she plays, she works well around others. She can also set up for her team, draws a couple of defenders on her, and I think that was the real big move that might be the difference for 2018.
Got to the playoffs the last couple of seasons, but they've fallen at that first hurdle in the semi-finals. What's going to be the key, do you think, to them, number one, repeating, getting to the playoffs, but number two, overcoming that hurdle and getting to a championship final?
You know, I don't think, Kieran, really there's anything that they need to change in terms of how they go about their week-to-week preparation. Obviously, the formula has worked over the last couple of years. They've stuck with their guns. Rory Dames has been very solid going through the draft system. He's retained this nice young core that this team has, where really you look across the team, there's not many players aged over, 26 years old, if that. So he's got that core going. A lot of players are returning from years past. I think this really kind of just goes down to the same issue that Laura Harvey had in the 2014-15 season, is when you get to that one-off stage, what do you do next? That's where the mentality, I think, has to change a little bit. So everything is working up to this point. It's just when you get there, and for them, hopefully, when they get there, is how are you going to react in the one match? Because they've been there now, the semifinals, three straight years, just haven't gotten to that last hurdle, which is a championship game.
Last season, we saw Julie Ertz playing in a slightly more advanced position. She ended up being the US Women's National Team Player of the Year. She was hugely influential for her club. How big a part is she going to play again in 2018?
Well, I mean, you look at her stage right now, she was really a three-phase player when she played in college at Santa Clara, really known for good goal scoring. I mean, she can run the middle of the park just about as good as anyone right now, and then was used, and very effectively so, as a center back. But now you look at the team that they have in defense. You have Gilliland, Sam Johnson, Katie Naughton, Casey Short. That's a pretty sturdy back line. So you combine moving Ertz just a little bit higher up with the likes of Colaprico and DiBernardo. I think you have a nice three there. You get help from the flanks, and then obviously now you've got a great target in Sam Kerr. I think this team, the way that they're set up, they can go that 11, you know, on the field. Then they've got three or four key players coming off the bench that can make a difference. I think they are truly destined for a nice run.
Do they have that depth, do you think? You mentioned there if they have three or four players that can come off the bench. Is the depth can be a big thing in this league because the rosters aren't that big. But do they have the quality in that depth, do you think?
I mean, that's the question, right? You look at a player like Stephanie McCaffrey and Alyssa Motts. You know, do the players like that bring something to the table? I don't know. You look at the stats that Chicago brought in last year, you only had a handful of players that weren't starters get more than a dozen matches. That's going to be the difference. But again, this is a guy in Rory Dames that knows how to draft. He's got a couple of solid draft picks that he both got directly through himself as well as absorbing through the dispersal draft of the Boston Breakers. I think they could be okay in depth this year. And remember, they're just building towards 2019, where they're going to have to really reload when the World Cup break happens.
Do they have maybe, I wouldn't say an advantage, but they have a number of players who, as we know, don't get selected that much for the US Women's National Team. Players like DiBernardo, Colaprico, having them all season is going to be big for them, isn't it? Because they're going to lose a few elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Again, that young core is going to be helping them. This is a team that relies on the unity that they go about their business on the field. They play with great flow, great rhythm. And when they can combine all that together and not lose a lot of pieces, not only on the international stage, but bringing them year in, year out. Yeah, I think the level won't be dropping off there.
Good timing. Good timing. So that was our 5 minutes on the Chicago Red Stars. But as we said, we've got an interview with Erin Gilliland. JJ, do you want to introduce that one because you spoke to her?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Erin Gilliland has been really progressing in her game the last few years, coming up from playing at the University of Kentucky, where, you know, she was just someone that was really an athlete that happened to play at outside back. I think she's one of the more technically sound outside backs in this game, can utilize her attacking prowess well at this level. And, you know, I think for a long time, and I still believe a lot of people feel that she is someone that can make a case for a national team minutes. Hasn't come yet, but she's an integral part of that Chicago Red Stars team. And make sure you listen to this one because she dropped a few hints that it may not be the same Red Stars team you've seen in the past.
All right, and welcome back to this Women's Soccer Zone preview of the Chicago Red Stars. And now I'm being joined by Erin Gilliland, who, and this is, it's been interesting, Erin, your career. This is now your fourth season playing with the team. In 3 years, you've made it to the postseason. Now, I know it's a little bit of a challenge where you haven't been able to reach the ultimate goal of the championship game and winning the championship, but does it bring a little bit of peace of mind knowing that every year that you've been with this team, you've given yourself at least a chance to win it all?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does, but it also leaves a little bit of sting to it at the end of the season because, you know, you're so close to attaining, you know, what everyone's ultimate goal is in this league, and that's to win a championship. And when you're that close every single year, you start to want to bang your head against the wall when you can't make that final step. So, yeah, I mean, it's great going in. You come into preseason, you know, everyone here has aspirations and knows that this team is capable of that every preseason coming in since I've been here. So it definitely sets a tone for us, and we have high expectations of everyone since that's the case. But it's never a good feeling to only get that far and miss out on that final step.
Well, let's talk about this year, because obviously it was a tough one down in North Carolina last year, but the majority of the team, as it seems to be the case over the last few years with the Red Stars, they returned. So how motivated was this group to get off on a good note and hit the ground running from day one?
We're super ecstatic. You know, to have everyone back. It's definitely the same people coming in, but it's going to be a totally different team this year. You know, once you make it to that same spot 3 years in a row, and you don't make it beyond that hump, something's got to give and something's got to change. And so we're definitely going to be mixing things up. So the red start that you see on the field this year is not going to be the ones that you saw the past 3 years. So we have come out totally ready and bought in to what our strategy is going to be this year. And we are super excited to implement it and see how the NWSL takes us this year.
You're really teasing a lot right there by saying this is going to be a new look Red Stars. Can you give the folks at least a little idea of what they could be expecting? Because obviously with the Red Stars, we've known in the past, it's a stingy defensive team. We'll get that to a second. Clutch goal scoring. There's been always a nice energy and flow to how the possession has gone. And obviously you on the outside, you've been helping push the tempo. So what exactly would a wrinkle be in a Red Stars lineup and strategy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're not going to stray from anything that's not our identity. You know, we've created an identity here for the Red Stars, but we haven't even touched what all this team is actually capable of. You know, we've kind of withheld, you know, how we can possess and all the other attributes that we bring with it, with people like Vanessa DiBernardo and people like Danny Colaprico and playing that kind of tiki-taki soccer. And you know, we have athletes, crazy athletes, just like North Carolina, and we've kind of leaned on that a little bit rather than, you know, going back to our soccer roots. So I think we're going to keep our identity, but we're going to add a little bit different flavor to it. And it's going to be really exciting. And it's going to be I don't want to give away too much. You guys are just going to have to tune in. But it's going to be a great style of soccer, and it's going to be something that people will recognize. If you pay close attention and you're an avid soccer watcher, you'll kind of see who we're modeling off of. But, yeah, I'm really excited.
Fair enough. I had to try at least to see if I could get something out of that. But you do bring in a couple of newer players, both at least in terms of veteran mindsets, like Sam Kerr, who's coming off of a tremendous season with Sky Blue, Nikki Stanton, Rosie White, and then a bunch of draft picks that a lot of people on the floor felt that the Red Stars, and really comes as no surprise, that the Red Stars won draft day. You've seen a lot of the young players in the early part of preseason. How have they been getting into the mix of things so far?
First off, I think this group of players coming in is one of the highest caliber groups all around. But they all get along really well. It's very odd. It's that we've had all of them come in and felt like they're best friends, which is really good for the environment, but it's very strange because I remember when I came in, I didn't know a soul, and there's so many of them. But they've done well. They've stepped in, and they've done what's been asked of them, and I think they're finally, you know, catching the pace of it. But we've only had those two preseason games against college teams, which is, you know, that's what they're used to and comfortable with because that's just where they came from. But it's going to be turned up, and I think it's really going to show what they're capable of when we go to this Portland preseason tournament, when we're actually playing Houston and Portland in the U23s, and they're really going to get a sense of what the speed is because you get it a little bit in practice, but you don't fully understand it till you're in that environment. So I think plugging them into those games is going to be key for us and seeing how they do there.
Well, one group that within your team that's very much used to the standard of league play and a group that has just been tremendous over the last couple of years is the grouping of yourself, Casey Short, Kitty Naughton, and Samantha Johnson. Because let's face it, if you look through the stats in the past couple of years, Red Stars have ranked one of the best, if not the best, defensive record, and by extension also Alyssa Nair in goal. What makes it click between this group?
I just think that we all know each other so well, and when we are at practice and we're practicing that back line, we're all so in sync, and we know what each other's jobs are, and we know how to cover each other. And I think when you have a back line, there's something to be said about bonding with that person. You can't just come to practice every day and just expect to do your job by seeing them with that 2 hours of the day. You know, Casey and Sam hang out outside. I hang out with Sam outside. That's probably my best friend on the team. And Katie and I have a great relationship as well. So I think it's more than just practice. You've got to really bond with those people. And when you've got someone as strong as a listener behind you and you have confidence in that person, they give you confidence. And then it moves all the way up the field from the back line to the front line. But I think also, you know, when you've got a back line that's been together for 3 years, it's they only get better each year. So I think we just play off each other, and it just continues to grow and grow. But what's so great is we also have people on the bench that can come in and make just as good of an impact in those positions, and we can move people around. What's so great about the Red Stars is we're so versatile. Every player on our team is very versatile, can play more than one position, and I think that is awesome as a soccer player and awesome for our team.
Yeah, and you talked about a couple of things that strike a nice chord. You've mentioned the fact that everyone seems to get along very nicely and everyone is really bought into the system. And when we've talked in the past with Roy Dames before, and he's always said that he's going to recruit types of players that not only buy into the system but can play a number of positions. Does he really kind of generate the flow and how this organization wants a goal, both on their field identity as well as who the individuals are with the team off of it? Or is this something that's really nicely centered around the group that you guys have within the unit?
You know, I think when you come into the Red Stars, the first thing to beat home on your first week is buy into the process, trust the process. So everyone comes in with this mindset, you know, I'm going to do that. To be here and to be with the Red Stars, you have to trust the process and trust the foundation that Rory is building, or you're not going to make it. So it's built around that core that Rory built of trusting the process, but then you take in your own personality. So you bring in Semi's personality, you bring in Sam's personality, you bring in Vanessa DiBernardo's personality, all those different personalities, and they blend. And it's not that every person has to be best friends. You don't have to be best friends. In a professional environment, that's never going to happen, that every person is. But you have to all get along, and you have to be able to cohesively work together to reach a common goal. And I think that's what we do well here. You know, when it's time to come together, we come together. You know, when it's time to go off, people go into their little groups. That's normal. That's human nature. But we all know that, you know, we are here for one common goal, and that's to win a championship. And every year we get to that same spot, and we don't quite make it. And this year it's going to be different, and that's the mindset we have in this preseason. This is going to be a totally different season, and that's why Rory brought in new coaching staff this year. That's why the intensity's turned up at training this year. Everything is 100% different, and that is an environment that a professional athlete creates. And that's what he's created here this season.
Well, I think you've given yourself and your team a very nice selling point to the folks at home and all the supporters in the league and why they should be believing in the Red Stars. So I think we'll kind of leave it off with that. So, Aaron, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us, and best of luck this season.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
Okay, so that was Aaron Gilliland speaking to JJ. We move on to our next club, which is the Houston Dash. So our 5 minutes starts now. JJ, last year we talked about Houston, wasn't sure whether they'd be a playoff team, whether they'd be a team that struggled. I kind of feel a little bit clearer in my head this year that I think it's going to take Virapoa a year to get used to this league, and it might be a year that they have to maybe build and consolidate and settle for a place outside of the playoffs and look maybe to 2019.
I agree with you 100%. It's annoying to say that, right? Because this Houston franchise, the fans that have been there since day one, they thought coming in because of an MLS-backed team that they're going to have success right away. And they've been hit, let's be fair, with some unfortunate bounces off the way. Of course, the touch-and-go with Carly Lloyd over the past couple of years, Kelio High coming on strong in 2016. Really, yeah, unfortunately for them, it was a time of the year where they were already eliminated from the playoffs, but she made this great run forward, was starting to get some looks from the national team, starts off decently last year, and then boom, goes down with an injury, done for the year. You had a player like Rachel Bailey coming in, very highly touted out of college, has experience already with the national team. She is there in some bunches, and then it almost seems that she kind of disappears for matches at times. Not to say that her talent isn't there, but just the flow wasn't there. And unfortunately, just whatever system that Randy Waldron put out, it just never really fully got together. I think that was the knock on them. And you're right, it might take a year under Vera Paul, who's a very good manager. And my understanding is the players are really enjoying her direct approach to managing the game and the communication with the players, but it's just going to take that transition time to get it right.
Yeah, my understanding is the players are definitely looking to prove a few people wrong. I've had a couple of chats with Amber Brooks, who obviously was an ever-present in defence last year, and I know that she's keen to really show that this team is better than people think. I guess the big talking point, and we discussed it briefly in our last show, the situation surrounding the big trade that happened between Chicago, Houston and Sky Blue. Houston have lost Carly Lloyd and Janine Becky. They were supposed to get Kristen Press. It doesn't look like she's going to play there. How, I was going to say, does it leave them light up front? But actually, they've got so many strikers in that roster at the moment. Although Kristen is, of course, world class, I'm not sure whether it's probably the area that they need to be too concerned by because they've got so many other options.
Yeah, I think it's defense that truly is going to be the issue right now for this team. I mean, Houston's defensive record last year, 39 goals conceded. That's one of the bottom in the league. They can get goals, and they can get goals from bunches, and they've got a number of players that, as you say, I think they're looking to really try and impress from day one. I would not be surprised, Kieran, this might be a bold statement, they may jump out of the gate a little hot, but in a good way. They may get some results that people might not be thinking about, and then, you know, kind of that honeymoon grace period wears off. But like I said, you said the goals could come. I'm with you. Keep an eye on them in the early season.
Midfield is an area that I'm a little bit concerned by for Houston. They've obviously lost two of their starters from last year. Morgan Brine, I know she didn't get a lot of time on the field, and Andra Senior as well, has obviously gone to Portland. Is there, and losing Carly as well, of course, is that a concern? We're talking about defence maybe being an issue. We know they have lots of options going up front. But what about the midfield area?
Midfield is definitely an issue. I mean, you know, you just look at the roster right now between current players amongst rookies and draft picks. Claire Faulkner, Michaela Hahn, Haley Hansen, Katie Heap, Veronica Lachko, Virginia, Christy Mewis, Linda Matalo, Lotta Ockvist and Kaya Simon and Allison Weatherington, that there's not many that really stand out to say, this is a player that I want in the center of the park for my team. There's going to be some issues there. And you're right. This may be a team for a little while that has to play that direct ball, maybe utilize the flanks with the speed that they have to kind of overmask it for the first part of the season until they figure out a plan that works.
How important is it for Houston to do well this year, because they've come under a little bit of criticism from fans and maybe some local media for not really pushing on, making some, I would say, some odd decisions when it comes to trades and transfers. How big is it this year for them to really make an impression?
It's to an extent. Like, I think, again, with the new manager coming in, there's going to be a few issues at times. There's going to be some learning curves. Obviously, the support staff behind that's there is a little more familiar with things, but I think as the season goes on, Kieran, and the results kind of continue to slow down a little bit, that's where the urgency from the support of the fans and as well as support of the backroom might come back to hurt this club just a little bit.
Okay, I agree with you there, and we are running into our 5 minutes, and there is the buzzer. So we move on to our next club. Who's our next club, JJ? Help me out.
That would be the North Carolina Courage.
All right, North Carolina Courage, finalists last year. Let's go, North Carolina Courage. So finalists NWSL Championship last year as the Western New York Flash. They won it the year before. We know the qualities that they have. We know that Paul Riley is a head coach, highly respected. They've made some good recruits, of course. The bonus of having Crystal Dunn available for the whole season. How do we think North Carolina shape up?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be status quo, right? You do lose a couple of key players, Taylor Smith on the outside, and I think, in my opinion, still a mistake that they traded away Ashley Hatch. But at the end of the day, you have to give up something to get something. And Crystal Dunn going to a very familiar ground in working in the North Carolina area. Obviously, she was a North Carolina Tar Heel in college. While she never played for Paul Riley as a youth player, right in the same backyard, so no doubt in Long Island, that is. So no doubt this is going to be some familiarity. And, you know, when you look at the returning group, this is a team that there are not many weaknesses already. And you add Dunn, yeah, this makes this team even more dangerous.
It's difficult to try and repeat what you've done 2 years previously in getting to championship games. It means that there's a target on your back. They have quality throughout the squad, as you say, very few weaknesses. But what do they have to do to maintain that level and to ensure they can repeat what they've done the last couple of years?
You know, I think the big thing for me, Kieran, is their defensive record. While we'll say last year that they averaged allowing 22 goals in 24 matches, so under one, I think there were some times, like 10, 15, 20-minute lapses in matches where they're able to just utilize the fact that they press high up the field, they're going to be fine. But There are some moments that the combination of Roland and D'Angelo in goal were put under maybe a little bit too much pressure that Paul Riley would have liked. If there is one thing, that probably isn't, because it's certainly not their possession game. It's not the build-up, and it's not the finishing either. I think if you're really nitpicking, yeah, it's trying to eliminate those long stretches where the defense shouldn't be under that much duress than they were.
Sam Mewis won a lot of plaudits last year. She comes into the season having missed a few months with injury, but we mentioned in the Chicago Red Stars preview, Julie Ertz was a big influence, won the U.S. Women's National Team Player of the Year. I think Sam Mewis was up there with her as the best U.S. international last year for both club and country. Having her fit and having her firing is going to be key to the courage, isn't it?
100%. She is the rhythm that that team goes on. She won't get the number of goals that you want her or a player in that position to get, but that's okay, because her technical ability, her savviness for the game, and as well a good presence on set pieces, that's something that, like, you cannot buy, right? That's going to be something that is going to be helping that team for long periods of time. And I think it's very, very well known across the entire media ranks, amongst others, that this is a player that you can not only build a team around club-wise, but you can probably build around on a national team. And I think we've only really started to see, and this is scary, see the scraping of the surface of what the level Sam Mewis can bring on the field.
We mentioned the depth of the Chicago Red Stars, and I'm sure depth will come into it with other clubs and other franchises as well. But I guess one question I haven't asked is, how do you keep everyone happy? Because with the folding of the Boston Breakers, there are now more players in each roster, which means trying to keep more players happy. There's more quality, of course. Players like Alicia Chapman have come in to the Courage from Boston. How do you keep them happy when you have so many players?
Well, I mean, I'm looking through the stats last year, North Carolina, and of field players alone, they had 13 that played more than a dozen matches. And that's, again, with that 20-player roster. Now, obviously, that expands a little bit this season, because you have the likes of Alicia Chapman, Julie King, when she becomes healthy again, on the roster. So not too many additions to that. But, yeah, I think it's kind of the attitude that that team has down there in North Carolina, where they really just fight, claw, and scrap for each other. I think they're going to be okay. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of testiness at some times, because you're going to want to have some players playing just a few more minutes than they want, or they hope that they think they get. They might not get that, but at the same time, again, when you have a quality program that has now gotten to the championship the last 2 years, they won the Shield last year as the best regular season team in the league, and they're doing so by scoring nearly 2 goals a game, and they're really dominating their home facility as well. Not too many teams are going in to carry and coming away with anything more than a point. In fact, they won 9 of their 12 home games last year. I think they're going to be in good shape regardless of that gap.
Gonna have to interrupt you there, mate. That's your 5 minutes. So fair 5 minutes up on North Carolina. We move on to the Orlando Pride. So let's go with Orlando. Reached the playoffs last year. It was obviously their second season after their inception in 2016. I think they didn't do themselves justice in that game against Portland in the playoffs last year, did they? But on their day going forward, there's probably not many teams more dangerous than Orlando, is there?
I mean, they're swinging for the fences right now, right? And this is the time that they have to do so, because they know, similarly to some other clubs that are very internationally related, get it done now before you may not have these players for too much over the next 2 years. I mean, we always talk about Lyon and Wolfsburg and Chelsea having some of the most dangerous rosters and dangerous front sixes. Man, I think Orlando, where they are right now, they can start to put their name up there as maybe one of the dangerous teams in the world to watch out, purely because of who they have on their roster and what they are capable of on a given day.
Yeah, obviously we haven't mentioned any names, but when you've got Alex Morgan, you've got Marta, you've got Sydney LaRue as a new addition. Rachel Hill had a good year last year, and she's had a good time down in the W League. I completely agree with you, but I think maybe in the past couple of years, there's been a few frailties at the back. Would that be fair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the defense can't be an issue at times with this organization. 31 goals conceded last year. And when you have internationals across the entirety of the back line, or former internationals for that matter, you should think to yourself, okay, there shouldn't be a problem. But again, internationals, there always comes a little bit of a language barrier. Sometimes you have defenders, Camilla, Monica, and Poliana all back there. This is for this year's unit. Then you have you have Alana Kennedy back there, Krieger as well back there. There's going to be some interesting decisions that Tom Cermani has to make about who he wants there and at what point does he want them there. Clean that up. And as we all know, Ashlyn Harris in goal can be brilliant on her day. And on her day as well, she can be very shaky at best. So that's going to be something to watch out for in 2018.
You are a brave man describing Ashlyn Harris as shaky, mate. I will not be taking the brunt of any criticism coming. It'll be going your way, mate, I tell you that.
That's fine. At JJ Duke 21, bring it on.
Well, look, you mentioned there, Catley. Obviously, Steph has gone over to Seattle along with Jasmine Spencer. In return, the Pride received Christine Nerin, Carson Pickett, and I think they got Haley Kottmeyer as well. That may have been a separate trade. But in terms of those three players coming in, I look at Carson Pickett, solid addition. She'll no doubt slot in at that left-back position that Catley has vacated. But I do like Christine Nerin. I think she's probably... I would struggle to find a player who's been as unfortunate as her not to have been called up to the US squad recently. I'd probably look at maybe Colaprico and Di Bernardo as well. But Christine Nerin, consistent from pretty much day one in this league and still yet to receive that national team call-up. But she can't be far off, surely.
I mean, it's those couple, plus I think Lauren Barnes, who's gotten into camp but I don't think has ever gotten onto the field. Tori Huster has been... very consistent as well. But you're right, Nerin day in, day out is a consummate professional, knows exactly where her strengths are. There's not too many weaknesses that she has in her game. Brilliant left foot, knows how to ping those balls in from deeper lying positions to start quick counterattacks, as well as just spreading the field in general. She is, and I mentioned this, what, in the Houston team, she is the player that you'd want in the center of the park on your, you know, on a given day, on a big match day. You know, I don't think there's many players that you'd think otherwise in this league. And yeah, she's someone that you just want, just pure value.
How big a year is this for Tom Cermani and Orlando? They made the playoffs last year, of course, but you know, they will have been massively disappointed to have missed out on the final, being that it was their home stadium. How do they go that one step further?
Yeah, I think it's, again, kind of similar to Chicago. They just have to find a way to get it right on that day. Their class up front is absolutely amazing. Just don't even look further than Morgan and Marta alone. Those two worked beautifully last year, not in a full season capacity, because remember, Alex Morgan didn't come in until the summer. But yeah, when you have those two for an entire year amongst what is now there with LaRue, yeah, this that front three could be very, very dangerous. And if teams aren't watching out, they may be giving up four or five a night.
And of course, to finish, they did also bring in Emily Van Egmond. And that is our buzzer on 5 minutes. So we move on to our next club, and it's the champions, Portland. So let's go with Portland. JJ won the title last year, the team with the target on their back. They've lost a few, they've gained a few. What do we make of the Thorns?
Yeah, you know, I still like where they are right now. As you said, lost a few, gained a few, but they still have that identity there. I think the big one for me, you mentioned it a few minutes ago with Houston, is Andresenia coming in. I mean, she may be one of the more underrated players in this league purely because of her technical ability and her just vision of the field. This is a player that can pick apart a defense when she wants to. She can pick up the pace when she has to as well. And I think that is going to slot in nicely to what Mark Parsons already has in a very deep midfield with Horan and Heath.
Lost Nadia Nadim and Amandine Henry to European clubs. Of course, Nadim's come over here to England, to Manchester City. Amandine's gone back to Lyon. How big a loss are those two, and what do you make of the replacements that have come in for them?
Yeah, Yeah, decent bit of loss there. I mean, that's two high-quality internationals. Nadia Nadim, I think, is one of the most fun players to watch. Always a smile on her face. Very tough to defend because you don't really know exactly what she's going to do. Very almost deceptive, right? You know, kind of running at you, legs and elbows going every which way, but has a great touch and is fearless inside the box. So that's going to be tough to miss out on. Of course, Amandine Henry is like a human metronome, right? She's just someone that knows how to continue to roll with the pace. And then all of a sudden, bang, she's going to go pop one from 30 some odd yards out and, you know, really make you look silly on a given day. Now, you talk about the replacements. You look to, we already talked about Andrasinia, but you look towards the players that they got in the Breakers dispersal draft. Angela Salem is quality at the holding midfielder's role. She, you know, is kind of someone that's been around for a fair few years, but I don't see the level really ever dropping off. And she could fit into that role nicely. They have Midge Purse listed as a midfielder, really, let's be honest, more of an outside to potential forward as well. I think they're going to be okay. And then, of course, we didn't even mention the fact that, oh, they got Caitlin Ford, who's going to be coming into the setup. So we haven't seen her this side of the pond for a few years when she was with Sky Blue, but she's matured in her game. And I think, you know, all things considered, they won't be happy that they had to give up those players, but the ones that they got in return, they'll be satisfied with.
Yeah, we're not sure when Caitlin Ford's going to be available, are we? She suffered quite a bad injury during the off-season while playing for Australia, I think, or certainly during the off-season in a training camp. I'm not too sure when it was, but when she's back, absolutely all right. One of the most exciting players in the world, without doubt. There's going to be a slightly different look to the Thorns, isn't there? We said a few out, a few in. Dagny Brynjars-Dottir is obviously not going to be available for the coming season because of pregnancy. But Ali Long has been at that franchise since day one. She's been traded to Seattle. It's going to be weird seeing a Portland team without Ali Long, isn't it? I know she divides opinion, but you can never doubt the influence that she had. I know she lost her place towards the end of her time there. Scored a lot of goals, played a lot of games. It's going to be strange not seeing her in Portland.
I could care less what people think about if she, you know, generates some odd touch and go topics on social media. She is a very, very good player and a world-class player on her day as well. She's, you know, one of those where you consider in a few different positions. You can even have her as an out-and-out striker when it truly matters because she's got great size and also good strength on the ball as well, something that, you know, a lot of players would kill to have. Good first touch, someone that sees the field well, can't even flex outside when she has to. And yeah, it will be challenging to see her, especially in a jersey that is the number one rival of this Portland team, because that heritage in the Pacific Northwest is so strong. And the rivalry, obviously, the women's game doesn't have a Vancouver team, but if there is one, that I-5, you know, corridor would be jumping a number of times of the year. But yeah, it'll be difficult to see her wearing the Seattle jersey. We'll get to that in a moment. But for Portland, they're just going to have to move past it.
30 seconds left. Talk about that back line. Only conceded 20 goals. Adriana Franch behind them as well. That's going to be key to them trying to reclaim their title, isn't it? The two MLEs, Megan Klingenberg, the lot of them.
I mean, I wanted to be on that shopping trip where she got them all bounty sheets and presented them after the championship match. That is a clean sheet unit in a nutshell. You know, add to that also Ellie Carpenter coming into the mix, a youngster that's really risen up nicely through the Australian system. That's going to be another fun team to watch, and expect more clean sheets coming out of them.
Okay, right, we move on to the next team. You mentioned them already. We're going to move on to the rivals of Portland, Seattle. JJ, Seattle, I think if we're talking about teams that have made changes, few teams have made more. New head coach, number of new players come in. Vlatko Andonovski heading up the team, having won two titles with FC Kansas City. People in Seattle are optimistic. They've got a good coach. They lost a good coach, of course. But can they do what go one better than they have done in the past and claim that elusive title?
I mean, all things point saying sure, why not? For me, though, Kieran, I think it's going to take a little while for this unit to kind of work together. As you said, a lot of changes. It's not the same Seattle Reign team that we had in years past, which could be a good thing. You know, let's be real here. While the turnaround from the 2013 horrendous season that they had. It was a great run in 14-15. They got all the bounces in the world going in their direction except for that championship match. But then it really kind of tabled off. So it was the right time for some changes to be made. Obviously, you know, if you want some coach to replace Laura Harvey, having Vlatko and Inovsky come in there is about as ideal as you can get, because similar theories of how the game should be played, lots of passing, lots of keeping the ball on the ground. Obviously, Vlatko and his indoor background is a lot more short, choppy passes, quick one and two touch bang move off the ball, stuff like that. It's going to take a little bit more time, though, I think, for this group to really kind of have that gel. Once it does, though, don't get me wrong on this. Once it does, it's going to be a fun team to watch. Just it could take a little while before it gets there.
Yeah, I mean, there's almost too many players to go through, isn't there, with the limited time that we've got. But you look at Euro 2017 Golden Boot winner Jody Taylor coming in. They managed to strengthen the back line with the additions of Megan Oyster, Yael Averbuch, midfield, Ali Long, we've already mentioned, coming in. They've already got, you know, the players that they've had from before, the likes of Jess Fishlock, Rumi Itsugi, Bev Yanez, Lou Barnes, you know, solid goalkeepers as well. I think you're right. I think it's a team that may take a bit of time. Is this the most unpredictable team in terms of what they might be able to produce?
Yeah, you can't handicap them right now because they've got quality over the field. And of course, you have the greatest X factor of them all, which is Megan Rapinoe, because truly on her day, she can go, and she showed it last year. She can go for hat tricks. She can go for three goals, three assists. She can go for anything truly that you want. She thrived under Harvey's style. Now, how is she going to transition over to Vlatko's style? That's going to be the big question mark. If the team goes with her, then I think they're going to be even making a little bit of an earlier run. But yeah, out of the nine, this, you know, there could be the greatest gap of all when looking at Seattle.
What's going to be the key area, do you think, in terms of this team succeeding? Because we've said there's so many changes across the whole field, different centre-back pairings potentially, different strike forces, we've got different midfielders coming in as well. Where do they really need to focus to try and make sure they're competitive?
I think the front line. You know, a lot of people had some very mixed remarks about Jody Taylor coming back in. I don't see why there's mixed remarks. This is a player that has been flourishing in the last year or so at a brilliant Euros. Very good down under in Australia for the W League. She loves playing in America. She loves being in the Pacific Northwest, where she feels truly that she is at home. I think if she can get going, combine well with the likes of Kawasumi, with the likes of Rapinoe, amongst others, yeah, I think everything is in the world to say that this team can go score goals just like they did in the past. Will that happen right away? That's, again, same like handicapping this team. We just don't know.
They've struggled, it would be fair to say, since the departure of Kim Little. She was such an X factor for them. Who do you see as the player that maybe can pick up that mantle and drive this team forward?
Yeah, you know, I like the addition of Yael Averbuch, right? I mean, this is a player that's shown now in her career that she can be versatile. She pretty much learned a new position playing center back for FC Kansas City. So if she can now, it's going to be the question of where exactly she's going to play. Is she going to play center back? Is she going to play in the middle of the park? Will she play on the outside, preferably on her favorite left side? That remains to be seen a little bit, but I think, you know, you talk about something that can pick the team up on her day, and there are a lot of on her days through her career, and I still think plenty more to come. I think she can be the one that can really elevate this team, and, you know, continuing under playing with Vlatko coming over from Kansas City to now here in Seattle, I think she could be that X factor and maybe something that this team needed 2 years ago.
Just in time, mate. Just in time. Beautiful. Well done. Right.
Love this timing, by the way.
We move on to Sky Blue FC. Right. We start with Sky Blue. JJ, nowhere better to start, really. Loss of Sam Kerr is huge. How do Sky Blue deal with that?
Got to get goals from somewhere, right? But I think this team has done enough at least to get a collection of forwards. We're going to leave out the midfielders. We're just going to talk about the forwards. They've got a collection of forwards that I think can get the goals. You got Jay Group, Jen Hoy, K Katie Johnson, Adriana Leon. You got Savannah McCaskill in the draft, Mackenzie Meehan. I forgot about the fact Janine Becky and Michaela Bam also are going to be there. There could be equal to or more goals that they had from last year's forward unit to then this year. Now, remember, you had to replace, the 17 goals that Sam Kerr had? I think it's doable.
They conceded more than 2 goals a game last season. You've just reeled off a lot of forwards. How much of a concern is it that they didn't really address those issues at the back?
Massively. You look at their defense unit right now, and outside of Christina Gibbons, who's listed as a defender but can really play the 3 lines, you don't really have a lot. They did get Rebecca Stott now, remember, earlier on in the offseason. That one kind of flew under the radar a little bit. But let's face it, when you don't have Christy Pierce in that center back position, give her credit for really even kind of maintaining that group through some rather tough times over the last couple of years. Yeah, I could very well see that the same amount of attacking that they have, they're going to see going back towards their goal.
How do they push on? How do they get into the playoffs? There's only, as we know, 4 places available. This is a very competitive league, not a huge amount between some of the teams. What does Sky Blue need to do to try and get over that hurdle and get into that top 4?
I mean, outside of the fact to score 5 goals for every 4 that they concede, that's going to be the tough one. A lot of their preseason results have been very tight score lines. So whether that's the quality of opposition that they're getting or the fact that they have turned it around under Denise Reddy. Now, we've seen her be an assistant coach in this league with Washington, but we've never really seen what her style could be like as a head coach. So that'll be the kind of the question we're going to get from the first couple of matches. Did they turn it around, pin their ears back and say, okay, we can stop teams? Maybe. But that'll be the question. If they can do that consistently and get the goals that we're expecting, then they have all the right and reason to be in the postseason.
And of course, you mentioned a really good point there. New head coach in the shape of Denise Reddy has coached over here in Europe, was coaching in Sweden before she went to the Washington Spirit to be one of Jim Gabara's assistants. How big is her role? How important could she be in trying to develop this Sky Blue team?
She has to win the locker room right away. That's going to be the big thing here. If she can win that locker room right away, have them believing for each other. I mean, that's one thing about Sky Blue that everyone talked about in the last couple of years. They played for each other. They didn't have that fighting belief in the past. They played for each other the last couple of years. That's the reason why that they had a chance when really they should have not been, not to say remotely close to making the playoffs, but they should not have been in the positions where they were. So if she can win the locker room, get that belief again going, then I think they're going to be all right. And obviously there's one key addition we'll talk about right now that could, of course, be that X factor.
I was going to finish with that. We've got just over a minute left. We've got to mention her, the home girl returning to her roots, Carly Lloyd. Now, again, divides a lot of opinion, but actually I think I would, do not quote me on this, but I'm pretty certain that the stats are pretty close, or certainly back up, that when Carly was in the team at Houston, they won more games than they lost. Now, or certainly they won more games than when she was out of the team. She, regardless of what people think about her, she's going to be an influence on that team, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, this is a trade that I think, to our understanding, she wanted. She wanted to play and finish her career. Now, how long that could be, that could be definitely 3 or 4 more seasons, but finish her professional career in her home state. And you know what? I know a lot of people, and I was at that Sky Blue supporters gathering after the draft. There were a lot of glum faces. Well, folks, turn those glum faces upside down, because you've got one of the best players in the world on your team that, when she turns up, which is every day, because I've never seen her give her anything less than 100% whatever game that she has, she will be a difference maker. And I truly think that Carly Lloyd could be the player and the thing that Sky Blue needs to get them in the playoffs.
Carly Lloyd will not be happy at being buzzed, but we have to move on to the next club, mate.
Sorry, Carly.
We move on to the Utah Royals. The Utah Royals' newest club to the NWSL, managed by Laura Harvey. She said in her press first teleconference, she thought you'd got rid of me, but you didn't, when she left Seattle. Utah is another club, obviously, with lots of changes since they came over from Kansas City. could be another unpredictable club and unpredictable season for an NWSL franchise, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, their biggest issue last year, when we mean they, we mean FC Kansas City, was goals. Now, we assume that Amy Rodriguez was going to be healthy for the entire season and playing alongside Sydney LaRue. We thought, okay, this is exactly what they need. They're going to have two key scorers up top making things happen. Bang, A-Rod goes down with an injury within, what, 70 minutes of the first game? Done for the year. Back now, committed now. My biggest issue is going to be the same thing as it was last year. Where are the goals coming from? Because Kelly O'Hara, as much as she is a quality attacker, she's not going to be playing as your out-and-out striker this year. Can A-Rod once again come back from either an injury or pregnancy and do the job and be the scorer that we all know her as? Or is this going to be like 2017-16 all over again for FC KC?
And of course, we don't even know if Kelly O'Hara will play as a forward. She shifted between the two positions at Sky Blue, didn't she? And also for the US Women's National Team, obviously plays as an outside back as well. Becky Sauerbrunn will be a key player for them, as always, won't she? She missed the She Believes Cup due to injury, but I think she's played for Utah during pre-season, so it'd be a big boost to have her available when the season starts, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, not only the fact that she plays, she's bought into this program. And I think it goes to show how much the players are truly getting behind this when you've seen their videos on social media about the players being presented with their own, you know, locker room, all the gifts that they received when coming on. The owners have done a brilliant job at selling what they want this program and this franchise and the NWSL to be. They have bought in. Now I think it's going to be on the players at this point. They're going to be the ones that have to really go out and do the job, because they've been afforded every resource and opportunity in the world. Now go take advantage of it.
How much pressure is there on head coach Laura Harvey? We know how popular she was in Seattle. She got two NWSL championship finals under her belt, but she could never get over that final hurdle. She's now joined a club, albeit it's a club that won two titles in a different city, but she's now got to try and follow up what Vlatko Andonovski did during his time with the franchise, or the previous franchise. It's not easy, is it, to be able to follow what he's done and to try and claim a title?
Challenging. Absolutely challenging. And I mean, you have all the pressure in the world to go out and impress a new, you know, potentially new faces of what the franchise could be playing in front of from day one. You don't often see expansion teams doing well in their first season. Yeah, it took Orlando, obviously, a second year to get things going. North Carolina is a big asterisk next to it because they just inherited a team and moved them. There wasn't really a lot of changes. This is kind of the same situation right now, but not so much. Yeah, there's pressure. There's a lot of it. I don't think they're making the postseason out of the gate. They're going to put a good showing. And, of course, they're going to play some very attractive football on the field as well. It might take a year. And I think they're okay with that. I think as long as Utah see what they want and hit the goals that they want, I think they're going to be okay knowing that this isn't just a one-year project. This is going to be something going on for 5, 10, 20 years.
And how different do you think it'll be? It's probably a question for myself as much as maybe those that are listening. This will be Laura Harvey's first time working with a club that is MLS affiliated. Obviously, Seattle Reign is an independent team. How different could that environment be that she's working with a club that's MLS affiliated?
I think there's, you know, definite positives there. Obviously, you have the resources. You have, you know, not to knock on where Seattle is playing, but they played in a municipal football stadium that was converted and used for their field, as opposed to they've got their own soccer specific stadium. You have multiple practice facilities, both indoors and outdoors. You have the resources of an entire front office that has pretty much laid out the red carpet for you, saying we will do everything that it takes to make sure that you have everything that you need, and we've gotten the players for you as well. I think there are massive benefits. Obviously, again, in Seattle, the Predmores bent over back in a lot of ways to make sure that everything was running as smoothly as possible. And Laura Harvey obviously gained pretty much a very solid footing in that dressing room. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a plus here, and I think she will be doing just fine.
Well done. All right, we finish off with the Washington Spirit. Lots of changes at the Spirit as well. I like what Jim Gabara has done in Washington. We've mentioned already a few of those players that have come in, the likes of Ashley Hatch. Of course, they had the number one pick in the NWSL draft, Andy Sullivan coming in. They still have players like Mal Pugh and there's a few others as well that have gone off the top of my head. I'm going to stop rambling because we're against time, but what do you make of the Spirit?
Love it. I love the fact that they're not satisfied with where they were, so go make changes. And they did exactly that. They obviously cashed in decently on the dispersal draft, where you get in Rose Lavelle. They did well in the draft in general, where you have, you know, Andy Sullivan. Look no further than that. I think one of the most talented players in this generation in terms of her technical ability and awareness. We saw her play Unite in the Sheba Leaves Cup. This is a player that is wise well beyond her years. Then you go and trade for the rookie of the year in Ashley Hatch, who I think is still even far, far, far away from where her true ceiling is, and she's already that good enough. Add that to what they have there. I think that this team could make that jump from being bottom, not say to the top like Seattle, but get themselves back in the playoff picture.
Steph LeBay won't be returning to the team. They've lost Shalina Zdorsky to the Pride. Are there some gaps maybe at the back?
A little bit, but the one thing you do have to remember, Kelsey Weiss does come back in from injury. They did get Aubrey Bledsoe in a trade, and this is a player that in Bledsoe, I think she's deserved in her past a number one opportunity. Works hard, a great organizer around her area, and a decent shot stopper as well. I think they're going to be okay there, but you talk about the defense. Yeah, there's a couple of holes there. Don't look past that. I think, you know, Rebecca Quinn coming in out of college, also as a Federation player, she will be fine. You have Taylor Smith coming off of the trade. But, yeah, you know, there are some good defenders there, but that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. If they can limit the sloppiness that they had from last year, then they're going to be okay. But if it's not, it could be another long season in the back.
Megan Doherty-Howard, Rose Lavelle, Andy Sullivan, Rebecca Quinn. Is there a better midfield in the league than those four?
Scary. That's scary good. And I mean, you forgot, let's see, Havana Salon, who had a very good season last year. Joe Lohman, very unfortunate how she picked up an injury so early on, because she, with my understanding, crushed it last offseason getting herself ready to go. And you know, I've been following, you know, the progress from her social media accounts. It seems like she's ready to go this year. And also Tori Huster and Stefia Benini as well. This is a good midfield that they have. Their front six is fine. You talked about the worries in the back defensively. They do not need to worry about their midfielders and forwards line.
They got to the final of the NWSL Championship a couple of years ago. Where does this team compare to that team of 2 years ago? Better? Worse? About the same?
Tough. I might have to reserve judgment on that just a little bit longer to see what they're going to look like on the field. On paper, though, I think about as equal. You don't have that dynamic X factor of a Crystal Dunn, but you have multiple players that can really fulfill that role. And my understanding is, I think the belief is there with each other, and they could go out and right the wrong from last year.
Pressure for Jim Gabara, when we've talked about that front six, the options that he has available, the fact they did well in the draft, the expansion draft, managed to keep hold of some of the key players from last year, lost a few as well. He needs to get it right this year, doesn't he? Because if they start badly, it's difficult to catch up in this league, isn't it? A few bad results and you're pretty much out of the picture.
Especially now, because you only have 9 teams in the league, there's going to be a little bit more familiarity as well. And if you can't find ways to beat teams, yeah, like you said, it's going to be tough to catch up on. So they're going to need to jump out early, not flying out of the gate, but they're going to need to get a few results early to get the confidence going and also get the belief back in the support as well. That was a rough season last year. There's no two ways about it.
Mal Pugh came in sort of partway through the season last year. Having that preseason, not much of a preseason, granted, because of Sheba Leaves, but having starting the season, how big is that for them?
Well, she's scoring goals already, right? Already a couple for the national team in the early season. So I think having her available for the preseason, get comfortable with the unit. Now she's not, you know, this is not new water, new territory for her, learning how to be a professional. She is a professional now. I think you kind of throw that all behind the wayside. She's going to be fine.
Well done, mate. And that brings the preview for the Washington Spirit to an end, almost. Because as we mentioned at the start of the show, we have an interview with midfielder Torrey Huster. JJ, again, you spoke to her. Introduce it, mate.
Yeah, you know, it's fun having a chance to chat again with Torrey Huster. This is a player that has been really the staple of this Washington Spirit team from day one. This is a player that the fans get behind. She is another one of those metronomes in the field that will truly do anything for the team. And, you know, when you listen to her talk, she really believes that this team has now kind of turned the corner. They like their group that are coming in. And, oh, by the way, she may not be the only Huster that you see on the field this year.
We're joined now by the longest tenured player on the Washington Spirit, who, in fact, when she takes to the field for the first time in the regular season this year, she'll hit 100 regular season appearances, already over the century mark in total, but we're happy to be joined by Torrey Huster. Torrey, when we talk about longest tenured player for one team, what does that speak to you about?
You know, a lot of people always say I'm the oldest player that has been here. What's it been like to stay this many seasons? And honestly, every season has been new and fresh, and especially this season as well. We have a lot of new players, a lot of new faces. So it hasn't really felt that long to me, even though it has been a long time and the majority of my professional career. But, you know, this is my club, and this is where I want to play all my games for, if that's in the cards. And I'm just been happy to be a part of, you know, all the ups and the downs.
You mentioned about all these new faces coming in. Let's get right into it. I know preseason has been going on a couple of weeks at time of the recording. The Spirit have gone out and been fairly aggressive in the offseason, getting a handful of new players. What does that speak about the organization after last year? Things really weren't going the way that you guys would have hoped.
Yeah, I think that our philosophy, or whatever you want to call it, is to win. And I think last year we had quite our fair share of losing. So I think things needed to be changed, and Jim and the staff have gone out and done that. And we've picked up some very quality players, some players that have shown well individually. And, you know, it is a new group, and I think we have a really good balance of some older players that can still show these younger ones that have only been in the league for a couple of years or so what it's like to have the group mentality, and that it is about the team, and hopefully get our wins that way, because that's how we've been for the entire time I've been here. And I think that's really important to maintain that idea and that philosophy, and kind of just as quickly as we can get this group working and playing for each other.
What needed to happen last year? I know obviously there's a little bit of time to reflect on what happened last year, the team finishing joint bottom, a year removed from getting to the NWSL final. So what was something that you maybe put your finger on, said, you know what, maybe if this sort of change, or if we had this piece of the puzzle, what would have made the difference?
No, that's a tough question, but I think I'd have to counter with maybe that season needed to happen for all of us individually, for the club, to then make the changes that we needed to, whether it was individually and personally in our own careers, or if it was as a whole or structure or whatever you want to call it. I think it's okay to fail. I think it's how you bounce back from it. And certainly the club has, like you said, taken that next step. And, you know, we've lost a ton of games. We want to get some different players, and they've done that. And I think it's really important as an individual player to take that step back and take responsibility for what it is that we need to take responsibility for. And whether you see players going to different clubs or staying here, I think that's been their their decision. And I think that's great. I think that whatever happens during the season, there's going to be movement. And as long as you can make the best of the situation, which we certainly did last year, we stayed as close-knit as a group as we could. And that will be a season that maybe we don't want to remember, but we'll remember the failures so that when we do succeed, I think it will be that much sweeter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a fantastic point, because obviously with the Spirit last year, there were a lot of players that went on to other clubs after the championship season, and there was a lot of new pieces that came to those pieces that you worked pretty exclusively with in the midfield with Maggie Doherty Howard and Havana Solon. What was it about that midfield trio between yourself and those two that maybe a little bit different than what we've seen in the past? Because quite frankly, on the field, the product between you three was pretty solid.
Yeah, I think all three of us are pretty willing to work for each other, and I think we're all pretty cerebral players. We try to, I would say, Maggie and Havana have very good vision going forward, and which that makes my job easy. I can get them the ball, and they can get the ball to whoever they need to further up the field. I think we were willing to buy into the style of play we were playing last year, and we were successful in that. And I think this year, whether we play that same style or a different style, I think as the three of us are willing to buy into whatever is going to be best for the group. And I think win, lose, tie, I think we were able to do that last year, and that is something that we can be proud of.
Now, there's no rifts or anything between you three when you have two Florida Gators and one Florida State Seminole in the three?
No. Kelsey Weiss has my back on this, and it's Shayna Matthews now. But we do have a few jokes here and there. But I think over the course of my career at Florida State, we got the better of Florida. So,
okay, so
I'm just going to leave that out there.
You have that in your back pocket every time. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Coming into this year, what's going to be the big the identity of what this team looks like? Obviously, as we've said, a lot of new faces now kind of settling into their second season. The team has added a few players. What's the big identity that folks should be looking for when they see the Spirit take the field for the first time?
I think you will still see that hard-working, gritty mentality from all of us, especially defensively. But I think we might have a little bit more creative flair. We've added some of those players, and I think even the players that were here that have maybe been injured and didn't really showcase last year, or maybe just because of however the games were going, we really couldn't do that. But I think that that creativity and that fun soccer, that vibe that whenever you watch soccer, you like the look of it, I think there will be a little bit more of that.
And lastly, I think it's kind of hard to pass this one up, but a lot of people know that your sister was drafted with the Spirit this past January. What's it been like being in training camp with her?
It's been great. I think that this is the first time we will, she's been here during the summers and whatnot, but I just think that it's good being in and around family. I've been all over the world playing soccer, and what I do miss is my family a lot of times, and they make their best effort to come to games. And I think this year, obviously, it would be easier for my parents to come to one place. But Maddie is, the way that she works, she is just one of my favorite people to be around and one of my favorite players to watch. It's been really fun to watch her grow from when she was 3 and 4 years old. And I take a little pride in the fact that I kind of beat her up when she was little, but so maybe that's why she's tough. But I think she's definitely gotten herself to the position that she has in a lot of cases by herself, and I'm just really excited that the club is taking a chance on her and giving her this opportunity. opportunity.
Well, I think a lot of people will be looking forward to seeing a T. Huster and an M. Huster on the same field at the same time.
Me too.
Well, Tori, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us, and best of luck as we get closer and closer to opening kickoff.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
Okay, that was Tori Huster. JJ, we finished the previews. We did our 5 minutes. Might have been the odd second here or there that we overran, but we tried to keep as close to five as possible. First time we've done that, so it would be interesting to get listeners' feedback on that one. But I think let's just spend maybe 5-10 minutes making maybe not some predictions, but the sort of things that we might like to see this season, or things that we think might happen this season. I guess, you know, I think once again we need to stress the importance of the fact that we have another NWSL season, don't we? We've seen leagues in the past collapse after a few years. This will be, what, season number 6 for the NWSL. It continues to grow, doesn't it? There's lots of discussions about certain players leaving the league. We've obviously seen Morgan Brian depart for Lyon. There's suggestions that Kristen Press might come over to Europe as well. But in large, the players are staying in the league. The league continues to grow, and that's really important, isn't it?
The league continues to grow, and I think, you know, of these new teams that have come in, they have made the right moves. Obviously, they're backed by MLS teams as well, and I think that's the big separation point, or one of the two separation points. Obviously, the other being, you know, the Federation players, so that swallows some of the bills that the clubs have to pay. But when you have the backing of MLS teams, when you have the players staying, and obviously you're attracting some good players as well. And then remember, you know, the U.S. does not play in the FIFA window. They don't go from fall to spring. They go from spring to fall. It's tough to get some of the best players and convince them to be like, well, you may have to leave your club a little bit early, or you're going to have to take a long period off before you're ready to, you know, start back with us. So, yeah, it's those are the challenges. But again, I think the league, there's been growing pains. There's always going to be growing pains. And obviously, there's still some things to be discussed. But the profile that is there right now, it's obviously great to see the fact that we're in year 6 and there's no really fear of, oh, is there going to be a season next year? It's going to be, what can we do to make it better for next year?
Of course, we have to caveat that with the loss of the Boston Breakers, don't we? That's a huge, huge blow. A club, you know, with huge history and tradition, and one of the clubs that played for all three professional leagues in the USA, to have lost them is a huge blow, isn't it? And it's really sad to see that we're not going to have any soccer in Boston this year.
No, absolutely. It's really depressing, actually, because there's no foothold now in New England. The most northeast team is obviously Sky Blue, but the Breakers have been a staple for the better part of close to a decade and a half now, close to 2 decades, because with WUSA and WPS, you always had a Boston Breakers team. And there's still going to be an academy there. There's still going to be some sort of legacy, I suppose, but yeah, it's not going to be the same having the Breakers.
No, totally agree. Well, I guess another positive that we have to take is that the league announced some rules and regulations in the week leading up to the new campaign, and salaries have gone up again, haven't they? Although only ever so slightly. I think the thing that concerned me a little bit, and I did tweet it out, the rise for those at the top end of the salary scale is bigger than those at the bottom. I think the salary maybe went up maybe a couple of $1,000s at the top end of the scale. I think it went up $750 for those at the minimum. I think it went up from $15,000 to $15,750. It still shows we've got a little way to go, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate because these players deserve the money that they should be making. But with that said, again, the league came in and said, this is the way that we're going to do it. We're not going to be making, I guess, the mistakes and the things that were made in the past that saw the demise of two previous leagues. With that said, again, it's hoping that, you know, the continued elevation of the league profile, having the second straight year of a weekly national televised broadcast, is going to help open some eyes. The next thing, obviously, is now get this product out in front of people that are not soccer specific fans. You're always going to have this group coming in and watch. What is the league going to be doing now to elevate that platform and get it in front of eyes of maybe some people that have never known that there's been a women's soccer league in the U.S. for the last 5 years.
Yeah, totally agree. Still some work to do on that front, but I look at the guys at the NWSL Media, for example, doing some great work in social media. It's just a case of now trying to expand it a bit further. It'd be nice to see those press boxes a little bit more full. I know some of the bigger newspapers in the cities aren't necessarily always rocking up to games, so it'd be nice to see them turn up to a few games and help promote it. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that one, mate. Should we make some predictions? What do you reckon? Should we make one or two?
Well.
One or two? So how about we predict the four teams that we think might make it through to the playoffs? Very difficult, I know, because as we said before, there's not a lot between some of the teams. But if you're going to pick your four teams as to who's going to make the playoffs at the end of the season, who would you go for?
This is tough. Okay, so I like where the Courage is right now.
I agree.
See them moving.
I agree. I go with the Courage.
I like how the Red Stars and their mentality is going. I keep them there.
Okay.
My big question is anybody capable of knocking Portland and or Orlando off their perch? I think the one team that could do it is Washington. I know a lot of people are going to say, why Washington? Well, you have Seattle. They reloaded. Well, I think Washington, because the group that they brought in, a lot of those players are hungry to get back into the postseason. Which team they're going to knock off, I'm not quite so sure that they can do it, though. So I'm going to be kind of boring, Kieran, and North Carolina and Chicago will be joined by Portland and Orlando. There may be a little of the flipping and flopping to be the one through the four, though.
So you're going for the exact same four teams that qualified as last year?
Unfortunately, yes. because the reasoning says...
Bold prediction, mate.
I think that Washington can get there,
yeah.
But who can they knock off? That's the big question.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think I'm with you on North Carolina. I think it's difficult to look past Portland because they're so good defensively. They have lost some pieces, though, and I'm not quite sure if Christine Sinclair is not going to be the one getting the goals. Having lost Ali Long, having lost Nadia Nadim, there's an element of doubt in my mind with Portland, but I can't see the champions just falling completely out of the playoffs. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go North Carolina. I'm going to go Portland. I'm going to go Orlando because of that forward line. But you know what? I can't bet against Vlatko Andonovski. So I think Seattle might sneak in. I do think Seattle might sneak in ahead of Chicago.
Seattle is going to be my Washington and crash the party.
I do. Yeah, I'm still not. It's so difficult because I've got a lot of faith in Laura Harvey as well with Utah. I just think that there are certain teams. I look at Sky Blue, formidable in terms of forward players, but that defense was, let's be honest, was pretty shambolic last year. It conceding 51 goals in 24 games, more than two goals a game. You can't win every game 5-4 or 4-3. That's going to come up and bite you on the backside at times, and I just think they haven't got enough. Houston, I want Vera Powell to do well. I really, really do. Comes across incredibly well, huge experience, but I just think that there is too much to do there at the moment. It's going to take her a couple of years. And Washington, I'm with you. I think Washington have got a really, really good chance, and Chicago as well. But you can only have four teams. That's the four teams I'm going for. I'm going for three of the four last year, and I think Seattle sneaks in there as well with Vlatko. Got to back Jody Taylor as well, haven't I, being a fellow English person. So I'm going with Seattle to make that fourth spot. But how about MVP? Who do you see being the standout player this year?
Ooh, this is the tough one, right? As you said, obviously with Portland losing a couple of key contributors, does Sam Kerr have the same success that she has in Sky Blue? Not to the same level. I think she's going to have another tremendous season, but it's not going to be there. Again, this may come as a bit of a boring statement or an unoriginal statement. No offense to the player that I'm going to say it, but let's face it, a lot of people would think that because those that she has around her. Alex Morgan goes off and has a big year this year for Orlando because of just the amount of players that can find her and then her finishing ability. Let's face it, the last 12 months for Alex Morgan has been very, very good, minus maybe one small little injury that she picked up at the wrong time during Champions League last year. Otherwise, this is probably the best point, maybe even is the best point of her career right now.
I'm struggling to disagree with you. I was actually going to go Sam Mewis. because I thought she was so good last year. But you know what? When you were talking about being boring and predictable, I thought you were going to go for Marta, and that's who I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Marta because I thought she was unbelievable last season. Alex Morgan was ridiculous, but I think Marta was on another level, completely different planet to everyone else. And I think she was probably just unfortunate that Sam Kerr had the year of her life. And I agree with you on Sam Kerr. And I think Sam Kerr has, with no disrespect to Sky Blue, better players around her. And I think she won't need to be as formidable as she was in 2017. I think they've got other players that will step up and score goals, whereas Sky Blue did depend on her quite a lot last year. So I don't see Sam necessarily being the MVP. She'll have a great season, but I have to go with Marta, mate. I thought she was ridiculous last year. But again, very, very difficult to kind of select. I guess the only other one I'd maybe ask is who you think might be the Golden Boot winner.
Ooh, the Golden Boot winner. Yeah, I'm going to stick with the exact same one that I had a second ago. I think, again, because the amount of people that can find her, and with Marta and Alex Morgan playing together for an entire season, I think Alex goes on and does it this year. But again, I'm also open to other options. It's going to be a fun race. I will say that much.
Michelle Batos.
A lot of good strikers.
Michelle Batos is back in the league, mate. She's got a goal behind her.
There you go. I always believe that there should be a keeper award in there somewhere. Go let a few more goalies have a shot at goal.
Absolutely. Well, look, I'm with you. It's very difficult. Alex Morgan definitely up there. I've got to back Jodie Taylor to do well, being a fellow English person. But there's part of me, just because of the rotten luck that she had last year, and I just rate her so highly, there's part of me that thinks Amy Rodriguez might get it.
Like an unheard of statement. I think when we know she's in form, she can go out with the best of them.
Well, I potentially look at her as maybe Utah's Sam Kerr from last year. As I said, I think Sam Kerr will score a lot of goals, but she's got a lot of good pieces around her. No disrespect to Utah, but I think they will possibly have to rely on Amy Rodriguez a little bit more than maybe they would like to. But you know, I'm here to be proven wrong. I think Alex Morgan will do well. Marta, Jodie Taylor, Christine Sinclair, the usual suspects. But I'm going to stick my neck out and I'm going to go a bit different. I'm going to say Amy Rodriguez will win the Golden Boot. I'm not going to ask who wins the title overall, because I think the four, it's very difficult to separate the four that we've selected. So actually, mate, I think, unless you've got anything else that you might want to predict, I think it might be worth wrapping it up.
I think I need to predict that we have to do this 5-minute buzzer thing again. I had a lot of fun doing that. That was great.
Well, look, if the listeners' feedback is good, then we will certainly do that again. But no, as always, mate, I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the season kicking off on the 24th.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And to you listeners, we really, really appreciate your time as always. Hope you enjoy the new NWSL season. Sure to be a good one as always. If you want to contact us, you can do. We're on Twitter on @WosoZone. To contact us via email, it's WosoZone@gmail.com. To listen to the show, we're on iTunes. And of course, we're on womenssoccerzone.com. Until the next time, take care of yourselves and bye-bye.